Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
We had some screen problems again this week, so if you thought you were getting ready to pass out or having a seizure, it's not the case. We bought an all-new system last week. It didn't work. All-new system this week didn't work, so I'm not going to say the company's name, but if you're getting ready to buy a screen system, talk to me and we'll tell you. You can avoid them. But I wanted to let you know something as we get started today, something that I think is exciting, not bad news or anything. I think whenever anyone's been around the church long enough, they're like, if they say something up front, it's going to be really bad. So this is nothing bad, something that I want to tell you, something I'm excited about, something that we want to communicate. And so many of you probably know that our year is not really a January to December thing. We kind of function in a fiscal year that's July to June. It's kind of how the school year works, kind of how life works, and so we kind of recalibrate and plan and see what we're going to do in July and go from there. And so the last couple weeks and months, our leaders, our elders, the financial minds have been looking at things and kind of saying, okay, what starts in July? What is God calling us to? Where is Movement Church going? And as we've been looking at that, just where vision and money intersect and a bunch of different things and checking out trends, we've kind of come to a spot where we made some decisions. And I wanted to tell you these in a few weeks. May 22nd in this series is when we're going to talk about vision and budget and all that fun stuff. Some people really care about that. Some people don't care at all, but I hope you'll come on May 22nd. But something kind of happened in the last couple weeks that pushed up what I wanted to tell you. And so since Movement Church has started over 3 years ago, we've kind of always had two staff members. Josh, who was just up here leading worship, was part-time in the beginning, and I was the other staff member. And so as we've grown and things have changed, Josh, we brought him on full-time, and we're excited about that. And in the beginning, it was kind of, we were just in that mode, like, this needs done, this needs done. You do this, you do this. And it felt like Josh and I each did like 20 things. And so in the beginning, I would give people a business card and they would say, it would say lead pastor. And they're like, oh, lead pastor, you guys must have a pretty big church. And I'm like, no, actually the opposite. I'm also the janitor and the office is in a bedroom in my house, but it just looks cool on a card. And so we would say that, but Josh and I were just doing a bunch of stuff and trying to get things going here and stay above. And so recently we just decided and through leadership and through different things, we looked at kind of what we were doing and what would strategically grow us as a church. And we kind of wrote up a strategic plan and we just decided that we were at a point where the things that we were doing, we were maximized. And so we weren't really in a spot where we could kind of do everything and do it well. And so we've always called Josh creative arts, but he's done like music setup, text, videos, teaching, groups, social media. He was the janitor. I'm not kidding about this. Last week, we actually did some landscaping for a second. And so we both kind of worn like 47 hats. And so we were to a point that we just said, like, we need to be able to focus on some strategic things that'll move us. And so we started looking at that and realizing that one of the things we wanted help with was groups and outreach. Sarah Knepper, many of you know, has done a wonderful job with our groups. But next year, we're looking at having as many as 17 or 18 groups. And so we're kind of to a point where we the reach and the scope of what those groups do and the way that they serve in the community is kind of just something that we wanted to have in-house a little bit and something that we could have in the office. And it was a lot to burden a volunteer with. And so we started looking at who could do those things and tossing around names and looking at a position. And one day, Josh just looked at me and he said, what if I didn't do all of my job? What if maybe another part we could look at Jeremy and Krista Noland? And so some of you don't know that name, but some of you, many of you do know that name. They're a couple who helped us plant Movement, and a year and a half ago, they were asked to go on staff at one of our supporting churches, Delaware Grace. There they are. How can you not like them, right? Krista doesn't have a purple thing on her forehead, by the way. That's just on the screen. But if you do have a purple thing on your forehead, no one's judging you. We love you, all right? I shouldn't talk about anyone's forehead because mine's getting larger by the day. So, but that name was thrown out there and just said, Josh said, what if we did this? And I said, well, I love the idea, but that's going to change a lot for your job. We're not looking for another musician. We're looking for someone that can kind of oversee groups and outreach and some of the communication stuff we do. I said, so I'd love for you guys to think about that and pray about it. I'm not going to make that decision, but if you think that's where God could be leading you and some of your other passions and also how God could use that to grow us, then I'm all for it. And so he and Ashley prayed about that, and they came back and they said, yeah, we want to do this. And so We're going to be phasing Jeremy and Krista in. The goal is that they will be here June 1st. I want to make it clear that Josh is not being fired. He's staying on. Someone asked me that this week. They're like, is Josh leaving? I'm like, no, maybe I need to think about how I say this. So Jeremy and Krista are going to come on. They're going to do music and tech and set up a lot of the stuff that you've traditionally seen Josh function in. He's not going to stop knowing how to lead worship tomorrow. So you'll probably still see him up here in many ways and contributing to what you experience on Sundays. The goal is that we can sharpen what we do, and so he'll be able to design some more things behind the scenes and help us be organized farther out and also do a lot of communication things. But at the same time, he's going to be a part of groups and outreach and hopefully lock those things in. We want to have a presence in the community that the way we serve and the way that we're discipling people that we would be missed if we were gone. And so hopefully the goal is that he can help us in that. And so Sarah, who has been involved in groups, as I mentioned, is going to be sliding over and also helping a lot of the things that we do as far as study and preparation on Sundays and things and fitting her gifting. And so I wanted to let you know that today, because that's being announced at Jeremy and Krista's church. And so you would have probably seen all kinds of things on their Facebook if you're friends with them. People would be like, so excited you're going to Movement Church. And you'd say, wait, that's my church. What's going on? So we'll be telling you more in the coming weeks, but they're going to be coming on staff, and we are super excited about that. They're a very talented couple, a couple that we trust, a couple that we know. And we really feel like this is a homecoming for them. And we're super excited about that, excited to see how God grows us, and excited to see extra attention paid to groups and to outreach and some of the places we're going. So I hope I've made that clear. I hope I didn't stumble over anything or make you more confused. If you have a question, come and find me, talk to one of the elders, talk to Josh, Facebook Jeremy, and ask him whatever you want to. But we're excited about that and excited where God is taking us. And so Josh and I were talking about when I should say that, and he said, you should say that up front, because then everyone will actually be listening to you when you get their attention. And so thought about saying it at the end, but now you're all actually paying attention, so I think that was a good decision. So let me pray for us as we get going here. Pray for the Nolans, and we'll be on the lookout for them and excited for them to join Movement Church. So let's pray. God, thank you for the way you have grown Movement. Lord, thank you for the way that you have used us and expanded ministry that we can do on the west side of Columbus and in Hilliard. And God, we thank you for leading Jeremy and Krista to be able to come back in a staff role and work with us. And so, Lord, we're excited about that. Lord, thank you for all of the many gifts that you've given Josh and Ashley and the passions and things that they've done for the last 3 years just to help us get started. Lord, I pray that as they get to focus and specialize a little more, Lord, I pray that you'll give them just a breath of fresh air and a way to know that they're making an impact and see that and be able to be dialed in. And so, God, we ask that you will continue to guide us where you want to take us as a church. We pray that you'll continue to guide our vision and, Lord, people that work with us, people that volunteer for us, and all the ways that you use your people to grow your church. So thanks for today. Thanks for the excitement that this brings. And, Lord, thank you just that we get to celebrate this and see you grow your church. It's in your name I pray. Amen. I have a story today that I want to tell you. I hope that you'll trust that it's actually true and not something I'm making up. But the heart behind this story is just, I think anyone who's been a Christ follower, been in church for a little bit, eventually begins to lose the excitement of following Christ. That sometimes I think most Christians find themselves bored. They find themselves in a spot where they're not excited about what they're doing. I think they have this nagging feeling often that they're not living out the Christian life or doing what they're supposed to do. They feel like there's more, and they feel like there's something meaningful or some mission that they should be on that just feels missing from their life. And so I know that many people sit in church and they're bored and they're confused, and sometimes they're wondering, what does God really want me to do? What's he calling me to? And so I want to share this story with you today. There's a man from California named Larry Walters, whose story I recently read in a book. And Larry went out to a Navy surplus store, bought 70 all-weather balloons, inflated them, and attached them to a lawn chair that he had secured to the back of his pickup truck. And so Larry and his friends went out in the desert, kind of, and he climbed up in the chair, settled in, and he had a friend untie the chair from the truck and let the balloons go. He was hoping, he said, that he could observe the neighborhood from a slightly different angle, but what happened was, as soon as his friend cut the balloons loose, he rose up into the sky like he was shot out of a cannon. And so he had taken nothing with him but a peanut butter sandwich, a six-pack of beer, and a fully loaded BB gun. Just a normal day at the office, right? And so 2.5 hours later, the Los Angeles International Airport reported an unidentified flying object in the skies above LAX at nearly 16,000 feet. And so they started referring to this guy as Lawn Chair Larry, Lawn Chair Larry was the reclining cosmonaut, and now he was 3 miles into the sky and 100 miles from his original launch site. And so the pilot of a 737 who spotted Larry, this was a quote that was in the paper, he said, "Well, I see what looks like a man sitting perfectly, still sitting in a, is it a lawn chair? And I think he's holding a rifle." And so in a stunt rescue that would probably make Chuck Norris proud, some SWAT teams were able to go up, and as he came down a little lower, they lassoed him. They found him that he was passed out in his chair, and he wasn't doing too hot. And so they brought him back to the ground. In case you're curious, he untied the balloons and the chair from the truck, and as soon as things shot up, he passed out almost right away. But before he did, he realized that the gun wasn't really going to help him at that point, and so he opened up one of the beers and just started trying to relax and passed out a few thousand feet into the sky. And so on the ground, after being brought back to consciousness, I can't believe this story is real, but it really is, they quickly issued Larry a $4,000 ticket for the obstruction of airport traffic, which I don't even know if that's a real law or not, or if they're just like, this guy's bad, we got to make something up. So they gave him that ticket. He later got it lowered to $1,500, but he kind of became famous in his local scene in California. And so someone asked him, "Larry, were you scared?" And he said, "Yes." He actually said a little more than that in the article, but it's a Sunday morning, so I'm not going to say it. They said, "Larry, would you do it again?" And he said, "No." So Larry was kind of a quick learner, learning these things, and they said, "Larry, why did you do it?" And he said, this blows my mind, probably because he didn't know what he was getting into, but he said, "Because I got tired of always sitting around." And so I hope that you won't think that's like an inspirational, cool story and try to go to buy some balloons and tie them to a lawn chair today. But I think what plagues us is sometimes as we function, as we live our life, as we do the day-to-day thing and we just get by, we find ourselves bored and we're looking for more. And people are always looking for some way to add excitement to their life. Some people look in wrong places. Some people just sit around and find themselves discontent. But I mentioned that a lot of Christians, a lot of people in the American church, I think feel that way today. And I think the problem is that we have separated the gospel. We have separated living for Jesus from the fact that we are on mission. These last couple weeks, we've been talking about the fact that when the gospel is real in our lives, we should live the gospel. And when the gospel is relevant to us, when it's driving us, we know that the mission is for us to make disciples. And so sometimes we compartmentalize those things. We think that there's a way that we can just be a good Christian. We can pray. We can live in our house. We can try to not watch movies that are too bad. And we don't really have to do the stuff that scares us. And the reality is that you can't separate the gospel, the fact that Jesus came and gave his life for us and has called us to live for him. You can't separate the gospel and living life as a Christian from the fact that we are called to be missional. And so I've often been told that vision leaks every 28 days, and that's why we always have a host come up here and say that our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God, because we want to remind that to ourselves. We want to celebrate that, and we want to keep us living on mission. We don't want to ever get to a place where we're thinking like, all right, I go to that YMCA, and I sit there, and I put my hand up, and I sing, and then a guy talks, and then I go to Subway for lunch, and I go home and take a nap. We want the fact that we're following Christ to call us to more. And so when we say we want to be a movement of people finding their way back to God, the word movement means intentional and contagious. The word movement means intentional and contagious. And so we believe that the gospel is contagious when we're representing it correctly. And we believe that we want to be intentional to spread the gospel and to keep that moving. The last couple months, we have been talking about a lot of different things, but you may remember we shared on a Sunday morning that we believe and we see that God is growing us right now. And so we made some goals for the next year. We said that one of the things we know that God is calling us to is to multiply believers and multiply people who are a part of Movement Church. We believe that will lead us to multiply services and eventually multiply churches. And so maybe you've heard us talk about that. Maybe you've heard us mention that. But we want that to be the heartbeat of every person that calls Movement Church home. We don't want people to be stagnant and bored. We want them to understand the gospel and embody the gospel in their life and realize that they're called to be on mission and realize that they're called to live out the gospel. And so these last couple weeks, you may have heard phrases like this. The gospel invites us into not just relationship with Jesus, but the mission of making disciples. We're not just invited into the gospel, we're invited into making disciples. We cannot separate those two things. You may have also heard this phrase said, and this is me boiling down the last series, but you've been called and gifted by the Holy Spirit to pour out your life, location, and vocation for the kingdom of God. And so we know and we trust that when we give our lives to God, that he seals us with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, I made you good at this. And once we understand how we're gifted and how we're called, we should leverage those things. We should use those things. We should say, I'm going to do what I do well for the glory of God. I'm going to leverage that for the kingdom of God. And so I want to take us to another passage today and just talk about further application of that. And so if you've got a Bible, I want to ask you to turn to John chapter 12. Maybe you've got one on your phone, your iPad. There's one in the seat in front of you, behind you, underneath you. But we're going to be in John 12 today. It's on page 821 in those Bibles. John 12, verse 20. We want to just look at this quickly and see where it continues to take us in the progression of these last couple weeks. This series that we're doing called Roots is not just meant to be something that looks cool or something that says, oh, this is deep stuff and that other stuff wasn't deep stuff. But these are some things we think building on what it's looked like to live for Christ during the week, our What About Monday Morning series. These are some things that we believe should continue to evidence themselves in the life of a believer who's looking to grow and who's looking to live a mature walk. So John chapter 12, verse 20, page 821, it says this. Some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. They said, Sir, we want to meet Jesus. Philip told Andrew about it, and they went together to ask Jesus. In typical Jesus fashion, he's about to just shake things up and not really answer what they went for him to look. So here's what Jesus says in verse 23. Jesus replied, Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. So they said, hey, can these guys talk to you? And he said, the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. He's like that super confusing friend that never answers your questions. But he's making his point, and the book of John is landing the plane on his life and his ministry. And so it says, now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Jesus says a lot there, and there are some themes that we see recurring throughout the Gospels and things that he said. But I want to focus on this one sentence. It's one verse, verse 24. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. That might not seem like too big of a deal, might seem confusing. Some of us, I think, are like, yeah, that's what corn and kernels and seeds, that's what they're for. You plant them in the ground. But in this day, there were many uses for seeds. And even in our day, there are many uses for seeds. There are people that make drinks out of seeds, right? There are people who make bread out of seeds. There are a lot of noble purposes and reason that things are grown on a farm and in a field. And there are a lot of options of things that they can become. And yet, Jesus is saying, one of the things that I want for seeds, one of the things that I want for this audience is that they need to die. A seed needs to die. And so basically planting a seed in the ground is the death and acceptance that it's never going to become one of those other things. It's never going to be in a loaf of bread that's served to the king. It's never going to be made into a drink. It's never going to have whatever outcome it may have wanted. And yet, when it dies, when it's planted in the ground, when it accepts what it's being called to do, that's when things actually take off. That's when new life is made. And you can probably obviously see the metaphor and the direction that Jesus was taking this conversation. And so that's point three for the day. It's just this. To multiply, you must die to yourself. I think often as a Christ follower, as a Christian, we say, yeah, Jesus, I'll give you my life. And we think that that's good and it's safe. And maybe we'll win the lottery or we'll get to go to heaven and some good things will happen. And yet sometimes when we're really understanding what it means to live for Jesus, we have to look at our own lives, our own desires, our own wishes, our own plans, and all of the things that maybe we've been thinking about and wanting. And we have to say, Lord, I want your will over all those things. Jesus isn't able to have us in the spot that we need to be. We're not able to be used until we die to ourselves. Now, I think that anyone that's spent time around kids, maybe you have kids, maybe you just hang out with them and babysit them, whatever you do, you know what it means to die to yourself. Because when you hang out with kids, you have no more hobbies or agenda or pleasure or joy. You're just on their time frame, right? Some of you had kids and realized that you would never again have a life. You realized that your house would never again be clean. And so you had to completely die to yourself. I had a guy tell me one week, or this week, he said, pastors usually have time for pretending they have one hobby. So you should pick that well. He said, or you'll go insane. And I just looked at my life and I'm like, I don't know that I really have a hobby. I think it's like checking my email or something, you know? When you have kids, when you get to a place where you're thinking about others and you're focused on others, you must die to yourself. And you have to give up on some of the things that you wanted to do. And sometimes you have to admit that those things weren't or aren't as important as you thought they were. And so Jesus makes that point clear. He says, to multiply, you must die to yourself. To be used by God, you must die to yourself and the things that you want, your desires, your agenda, your pride, your arrogance, your selfishness. And so we've been called to be on mission as Christ followers, as the church. We've been gifted to be on mission. And yet sometimes we don't realize those things. We don't put ourselves on mission because we have things that we want to do. Sometimes those things are even hidden behind Christian desires and church-like things, right? We think like, well, I want to elevate myself to this position. I want people to look at me and respect me. I want everyone in the church to know how spiritual I am. I want people to see me and want to be the person and the leader that I am. And sometimes for God to use us, for God to multiply us, for God to multiply us into others, we have to die to ourselves. Another point that I want to take us to is simply this. The kingdom of God has its own definition of success. You probably already realized that. We're talking about dying to ourselves, and some of the things that we have to die to are our definition of success. And I understand that very much because that's prevalent in the church world. Every time I meet a pastor, the first thing someone says, they're like, so what are you guys running these days? That's like the classic pastor and church question. They want to know, like, how big are you? How many butts are in seats? What's going on? And yet we're called to be people who are multipliers. And so the kingdom of God says that is success. I'm not saying it's bad if a few more people show up to Movement Church or if a couple more thousand people show up to church, but the kingdom of God is not the kingdom of Mark, and it's not the kingdom of you. It's not the kingdom of us. And so the things that God is calling us to may not be how we view success. They may not be what we want to do. And yet God is saying, what's success is having my agenda and my kingdom on your mind. And what I see as success is following me, living for my kingdom, working for my kingdom. So the kingdom of God has its own definition of success. And not just that, but the kingdom of God requires risky faith. I want to read another passage to you. It's Matthew chapter 25, 14 to 30. It's on page 756 if you want to turn there. Matthew 25, 14 to 30. It's the parable of the three servants. You've probably heard it before, but I think that this is so valuable for us today as we think about being multipliers. And we think about the kingdom of God and where God is calling us. Jesus is telling stories. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used the money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, and harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well, what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance.
But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Why do I read that passage after we've talked about the fact that we are on mission, that we are called, we are gifted to multiply, and we need to exercise that. We need to be excited about that. We need to be excited about the kingdom of God and realize the kingdom of God isn't always our agenda, isn't always the world's agenda, but the kingdom of God is something that we want to share enthusiasm about in a place that we want to exercise risky faith. I think sometimes we look at people in that story and we think like, yeah, they did what's good. And yet we look at those three people and we wouldn't do those things in our lives. We wouldn't say, all right, this is what my master's given me. I'm going to go all in and multiply this. I'm gonna do what I can. Those guys could have lost money, right? We're not told a lot of details. They could have done a lot of things. There was a chance they may not have felt this earthly success like, yeah, I ended up with 10 bags of silver. Look at me, I'm awesome. I think they were exercising a faith that had a little bit of risk in the name of their master. And so the first guy multiplied his silver, the second guy multiplied his silver, but I think what's fascinating about this is, are we living like that third guy? We're thinking, yeah, God's given me this, so I'm going to keep it, I'm going to hold on to it. Are we leveraging what God has given us to multiply his kingdom? Here's a question that I want to ask. If you heard a story like this, a guy who didn't lose any money and a guy who stayed right where he was at, would you have thought that guy's living in sin? He didn't multiply what he had for God's kingdom. I don't know that I would think that if I saw that story day to day, and yet this is a guy who didn't trust what his master was asking him to do. This is a guy who wouldn't trust where his master was calling him to go. Jesus has told us already in that other passage, he said, come and die to yourselves. If you want to follow me, you have to die to yourself, and you have to trust that I am who I say I am. You have to trust the ways that I'm calling you to risky faith. You have to trust the places that I'm asking you to go because you've been gifted and called. And yet sometimes we just sit on the things that he's given us, and we sit on the talent that he's given us, and we bury them in the ground, and we think like, see, I didn't blow this. Yet I think the way that we steward and the way that we manage what God has given us and what he's called us to, if we're just sitting on those things and just waiting on those things, that can be a sin. That can be trusting ourselves. That can be not trusting God and the promises he's made and the things that he's called us to do as far as multiplication. Our big idea for today is just this. The gospel was meant to multiply exponentially, and so was the church. The gospel was meant to multiply exponentially, and so was the church. And so it's not a coincidence that Jesus has called us to a mission. It's not a coincidence that Jesus has said that we need to multiply, we need to die to ourselves, we need to get on board with his agenda and be about his kingdom. That's not a coincidence. When I say that happens exponentially, most of you have read through the book of Acts and see where Jesus came to minister and then he sent the gospel out as he left the earth. And the gospel was taken all over the world and it multiplied and it multiplied and it multiplied. That started in one city and yet the gospel went around and there wasn't just one church or one person. The gospel was passed from one person to another person and the person would go on a business trip and they would start a church in another town as they led someone to the Lord and then they would come alongside those believers and strengthen that church and those churches multiplied churches that multiplied churches that multiplied churches. And so I want you to know that we want to be about multiplication as a church because we believe and we know and we trust that the gospel is multiplication. They are one and the same. And the pattern of planting new churches and multiplying believers and multiplying leaders is one that we see in the New Testament. And so how can we multiply? I think the first and most simple thing is that we have to be on mission with the gospel. The gospel is not just for you and I. The gospel is not meant to be stored and saved up. The gospel must come out of who we are. The gospel must bleed out of the way that we live so that people can see the gospel, can interact with the gospel. Laura shared her story today, and the goal is that as a social worker, the gospel pours out of her. That people see the way she lives, and they wonder what's different about her, and they ask her about that, and she gives them an answer. Sometimes we think that the church will just magically happen in some way. The church is people working in normal, layman, everyday, day-to-day jobs. The church is teachers. The church is construction workers. The church is social workers. The church is nurses. The church is stay-at-home moms living their life on purpose and multiplying the gospel. Another way that the gospel can multiply through you is in your leadership. We've said that everyone in here is called and everyone has been given a gift. There are people who don't know their gift. There are people who don't understand how to use their gift, and there are people who wish that someone would come alongside them and say, hey, you're gifted in music? Let me show you what that's looked like to grow God's kingdom. I'm gifted in music too. There are people who are gifted in administration. There are people who love to hang out with kids and people who love to just tell kids about the gospel. And there are people who are called to do many different things. So another way that you can multiply your leadership is by helping someone understand their calling and their gifting and their mission. We've got a lot of people who serve on volunteer teams around here, a lot of people who have entered into an apprentice relationship where someone shows them how to use their gift and eventually passes ministry off to them and raises up another leader. You can multiply the gospel daily in your life. You can multiply the gospel by multiplying leaders. And another way that we've talked about a little bit, but I want to focus this on today, we can multiply the gospel as we multiply churches. You probably have heard, or maybe we're around for the announcement, maybe not, but we're getting ready to bring in a church planting apprentice this fall. We're bringing in a couple named Joel and Morgan Trainer with the purpose of letting them be a part of us, letting them see how we do things, how church planting and portable church works, but the goal is that we will send them away. Now, some people would say, that seems like a terrible idea. Why would you get really close with someone and be friends with them and then send them away? That's because the kingdom of God has a different definition of success. The kingdom of God has a different definition of success, and not just that, but the kingdom of God requires risky faith. And so some people would say, like, so you're going to bring people in, you're going to get close to them, and then you're just going to send them out and see what happens? Aren't there better ways you could spend your money? Couldn't we buy like a new screen that actually worked with that money? Or couldn't we invest that money into like something that kind of has more return, something that feels better? We could, I guess, but the kingdom of God has a different definition of success. And so we're not just going to send them. We're not just going to send them with money, but I'll be completely honest, and I've mentioned this before. We're going to look at this room, to look at our church, and have you prayerfully ask, is God calling me to be a part of that church plant? Now, I'll be honest, that kind of terrifies me, because we're going to look Joel and Morgan in the eye and say, you have free reign over anyone in the church. Go ahead and ask them. If God has called them to go, they're allowed to go. You can ask a staff member. I don't know who's going to pay them. Not us, probably. But you can ask a staff member. You can ask an elder. You can ask anyone that's a director or a coach or leads a team. And that's terrifying. I don't want to pretend that I'm like, I understand the kingdom of God. That's terrifying a little bit, because you don't know who's going to leave. And yet we know and we trust that as believers, we're on mission. And we've been gifted and called to take the gospel to other places. And we know that the gospel multiplies itself. And we know that we want to see the gospel, we want to see Jesus multiplied in the lives of other people. And so we don't want to just worry about here, because that's not a kingdom of God mindset. If all we did was worry about Hilliard and Movement Church and everything that happened from 10 to 11 in this YMCA, that would be a kingdom of Mark or a kingdom of us. And that is not what we're about. We are about the kingdom of God. And so you're going to see us start to talk about this a lot. And the only way that we can train up people to understand and know what the kingdom of God looks like is to focus us on that mission. And so we're going to be saying, bless the trainers, bless this church plant, teach them, impart on them everything that you know and everything that we can so that we can send them away. It's similar to having kids, I guess you could say. I know that I'm investing in my kids. I know that I'm buying them food all the time, and I buy them a mini bike, and I buy a swing set, and someday they're just going to be like, hey, Dad, thanks for nothing. I'm out. I'm going to college. P.S., can you pay for that too? Right? And then when they're done with college, they're going to say, thanks for that 100,000. Now I'm going to move to St. Louis and be an accountant. I'm going to be, you're leaving your dad? And yet I know that God has called us to reproduce, and God has called us to multiply, and God has said that this is your mission, your mission. And so we're going to do the same thing as a church. Right? We're going to multiply ourselves. And so I want to ask you something this morning. Have you been about the kingdom of yourself, or have you been focused on the kingdom of God? Have you exercised risky faith? Have you thought about what does this mean for me? How does this affect me? Or have you said, God has called me to be on mission. God has called me to multiply myself, and I'm going to do that. I want you to look under your chair. There is there's a rock under every chair in here, I hope. Go ahead and grab that, pick that up. Your first thought might be, I think it's got sand on it and it's a little dirty. It's true, it's a little dirty. Thank you, Walmart, for selling rocks that sit outside in the rain. But that rock is a little dirty, and yet as you grab that, some of that dirt might get on you. I don't want to pretend that multiplication is perfect, because multiplication sometimes shows us how we're thinking about our own kingdom, how we're not thinking about the kingdom of God. Go ahead and hold that rock. If you've ever been nervous to share your faith, go ahead and squeeze that rock. Just hold it in your hand, squeeze it tight. If you've ever been nervous to share your faith, If you're saying you're not, you're probably lying, but that's between you and God, all right? If you've ever been nervous to share your faith, give that thing a squeeze. If you've ever been afraid to do something that God has asked you to do, maybe that's talk to a person, maybe that's start a Bible study at work, maybe that's being a part of a church, go ahead and squeeze that thing and squeeze it tight. Don't stop squeezing it. Maybe you've been afraid of how God was going to provide, where your next paycheck was going to come from. Go ahead and squeeze that rock. There's a lot of reasons that we sometimes don't want to follow God. We're uneasy about multiplication because it's not about us. It takes time and energy and effort to give ourselves to God's kingdom, and we don't always see the return. So if you've ever been nervous, you've ever been uneasy, you've ever not trusted what God wanted to do, you've been worried about your own comfort and where he was calling you, go ahead and squeeze that thing tight. And now I want you to do something. Just go ahead and let go of that. Just drop it. That's what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. It means to let go of the things that are about you and yourself and be focused on what God is doing. I don't know if you noticed it, but when you drop something, usually your palms are up there as you drop it, right? You're in a position of worship and you're saying, God, I'm letting go of this. God, I'm over this. I'm giving this to you. That's where we want our church to be, and that's where we want to be as individuals in this next year and in the coming years. I don't know what God has been putting on your heart, but I guarantee he's calling you to multiply yourself, to multiply the gospel that's inside of you. So if that means letting go of fear, to talk to someone, to make your job awkward, to let them know that you're a Christian, we can't be about our own kingdom, and we have to let go of that. If that means trusting God that you're finally going to jump in and be a part of his church and you're going to be a leader and you're going to be committed so that you can use your gifts and you can amplify the gifts of others, you got to let go of that and say, this isn't just about my comfort. This isn't just about me. This is about multiplying his kingdom. And you can pray and think about this one more, but is God calling you to be a part of launching a new church? Have you ever considered that, or have you thought, I just got my yard the way I want it? Or we just put in new tile floors? Is there a chance that God would be calling you to move somewhere in Central Ohio with the trainers? That terrifies me as I say it, because I wonder, do people hate me? Will everyone in the room leave and Movement Church will have 11 people? It might, right? And yet we know that that's the kingdom of God, and if God is putting that in your heart, if he's calling you to that, we want you to be able to let go of that fear and anxiety and the ways that you don't trust, and be in a position of worship and ready to trust God into what he's calling us to. We're all called, we're all gifted, we're asked to pour out our lives for God's kingdom. And God's kingdom has a different definition of success than you and I. And God's kingdom calls us to risky faith. The gospel was meant to multiply exponentially, and so was the church. And over the next year, we want to work at that as a group. First, you have to ask yourself, where does that start in you? How is God calling you to give something up and to multiply yourself? Let's pray together. Lord, trusting you is not always easy. Lord, I confess there are times that I want to trust myself, things that I think I'm good at, skills I think I have, Lord, and that's never a good place to be. So God, I pray that first, as individuals today, that you will make it clear in our hearts what you're calling us to. Lord, I pray that we will let go of idols and things that exist in our own kingdom so that we can share the gospel and be missional with the world. God, I pray if there are ways that you're calling us to multiply ourselves in others or to multiply your church, Lord, I pray that we will be open to that. We will be excited about that. Lord, that we will trust you and we will let go of those fears and anxieties and worship and respond to your goodness and what you're doing in our hearts. God, be with us now. Help us to start what may be a 1 week, a 1 month, or a 1 year conversation. Lord, help us to wrestle with what you're calling us to and to be honest when we're depending on ourselves and leaning on ourselves. God, help us to sing to you. Lord, help us to respond to you. It's in your name I pray.